Welcome back to New Rockstars! What If Episode 9 brought together the Guardians of the Multiverse to take down the universe killer, Ultron. And even though Uatu sort of told them the whole plan, he still kind of just sat back and let them do all the dirty work. And we finally got Azula face on the robot's chest! Finally! I've wanted this forever and we finally got Zola tube on the chest like in the comics. So good, but he's locked away in a pocket dimension. Free Zola! This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles we love. My name is MT, and going rogue with me today, with the battle cry of Viva Las Vegas, is Jessica Clemens. What's going on?
Vegas!
Viva Las Vegas!
That scene killed me. You guys know I love good comedy. You guys know I like good villain, but yeah. That line, Party
Chris
Thor,
Hemsworth.
Rock on. Rock on. Steady vibe.
I freaking love Party Thor. Mm-hmm. Honestly, bring him to the MCU. We don't need
Keep
regular
him.
Thor anymore.
Bring him up. No. Yeah, bring him on in. He's
Only
staying.
Party Thor.
Thor. The most likely to do the Macarena. Anyway, and just waiting to unleash the Infinity Crusher on any multiversal threat, it's Whitney Van Lanningham. What's going on, Whitney?
Not a lot. Just hanging out.
Yo, your hair is fire, by
Dude,
the way.
Thank
as
you
a
so
bald
much.
Person who wishes he had hair. I envy you. I envy
thank you. Thank you.
You and Brandon, greatest locks in the nation. And finally, free from the pocket dimension, it's Eddie Villanueva. What's going on, Eddie, my man?
What is up? I just got out and ready to have some fun, and they'll probably send me back, but it's all right. I got a couple minutes to spare.
Hey, that's what Uatu does, apparently. It's like, hey, I just need to borrow you for a second, then I'm going to put you back into your little pocket
dimension. I'll put you right back in there.
So rude. But anyways, exactly. The final episode of season one of What If had Uatu declaring himself the protector of the multiverse. And for our first topic today, I have to ask you all, who or what will be the big threat of season two? Will Killmonger or Zola escape the pocket dimension? And what's next for Captain Carter based on her reunion with Skinny Steve? And will Natasha play nice in her new universe? What do you guys think?
Damn, so we just call him Skinny Steve now?
We call him a Malnourished Steve.
There you go.
That's what I call him. Malnourished Steven.
Tiny Steve.
Skinny Steve is his nickname.
There
Skinny
you go.
Now that Skinny
well,
Steve
Skinny
is back.
I feel like next season we're kind of in a gray area in terms of we have this protection from what's going on with the Infinity Stones from one of the universes, but I would personally like to see the storyline for the next season kick off with the storyline from Original Sin. Like, I would love to see where Uatu has been officially announced as, you know, he's obviously going to get ousted from his order because we've talked about this before in the show. He's going to get ousted from the rest of the Watchers. And at that point, I feel like it's going to be a moment where what we've already established the multiverse. So the other universe, Nick Fury, is going to come in. And other entities, and because I don't want to give away a lot of that storyline. It's a great storyline, and it leads to a lot of different offshoots. But I'd love to see the storyline of Original Sin being kicked off, where we have the assassination of the Watcher, and that whole storyline is delved in like espionage and secrets and stuff and everything else, and cosmic situations and environments, and it's a great storyline. So I'd like to see it go in that direction where. We're going to see that kicked off either in the first episode or at the end of the first episode.
Okay, cool. So an Original Sin. Like, ever since we got Uatu, I was like, bro, I really hope we do Original Sin because there is a really crazy thing that happens in the middle of Original Sin that it's just really messy. It's really messy for the Marvel Universe. That's all I'm going to say. So please go read Original Sin.
Yes.
But what do you think is going to happen with Captain Carter and Skinny Steve? Like, how do you think that's going to affect season two?
I feel like we're going to get a really kind of Schrodinger's box when it comes to Steve, because we don't know in what state he's in. This isn't like the same thing with Bucky, where if he's been in stasis this entire time, they just said, and somebody's in there. For all we know, there's a body that's like, or a skeleton, you know, that could be just like a really technologically advanced coffin for all we know. I don't really want to get my hopes up yet, but I feel like this is going to lead toward at least Captain Carter getting closure. Because much like in the original storyline where Steve got a chance to see Peggy before, you know, she passed, she was in a very, you know, medical state that just wasn't great. And it just, it kicked off that whole part where Steve had to move on with his life. This might be the opportunity where we're going to get Peggy, to have that opportunity to move on with her life and get that closure she needs. So
that would be so
kind of would be pretty f***ed up if Widow was just like, "You want to know something that's gonna blow your mind? I have your boyfriend, and he's right here, baby." Opens
Checking
it.
Out
he's
his skull. Look,
dead.
Hi, Peggy.
He's just 100% dead. His skeleton crumbles like, to whoops, ash like an Indiana Jones first. Villains. Yeah, should have maybe scanned for vital signs first. Sorry, Peggy. Nuts. Did it again.
Like, oh, shit.
Dude, that's
hold
fucked
on.
Up theory.
Shit, Peggy, go wait at the door real quick. Hold on, I gotta.
So, okay, so you're saying that you want a original sin scenario, and you're thinking that, you know, we shouldn't really assume that Skinny Steve is in the Hydra Stomper.
Yeah, no, I feel like they're not going to take that anywhere. I don't know if they're going to take that anywhere in terms of the storyline. I would love to, like, realistically speaking, I would love to, but honestly, for the course of, like, the progression of the story, I feel like it's going to mirror. We've done a great job. Marvel has done a great job of mirroring certain key what is that? Absolute points or something of that nature in the storyline. And I think this is one of those ones where one can exist at their peak with the other's support at their side. So one of them's going to have to prevail and one of them's going to have to be the send off. Bleak. Okay, okay. I go for bleak, not just
bleak.
No, that's great. What do you got, ladies? What you got?
First of all, we've got Doctor Strange babysitting a Hydra Nazi and Black Panther locked in an eternal battle inside of a Polly Pocket with the most powerful weapons in the multiverse inside. So it's like, what could go wrong? Lots of things. Maybe lots of things could go wrong next season. One of the things that I was kind of thinking about, kind of along the same lines of the Uatu thing, is that he's got to have a consequence for interfering, right? Like something, there has to be some kind of consequence because he broke his big, big rule. Yep. So I think that it is possible that we are going to see some consequences of him, like, Rick Sanchez-ing Black Widow into that universe where he's like, all right, you guys lost your Rick, so here's Rick C-137 for you guys. He just, like, inserted Natasha Romanoff's C-137
literally what he did.
Like, into that universe, and he was like, well, it's not your Widow, but she'll have to do. My only advice is, baby girl, don't clone your daughter. Don't take your grandkid on intergalactic adventures. Like, if you're going to do
don't
this,
do it.
Don't
based
up.
On experience.
Based on experience. Don't go full alcoholic Doc Brown on the situation. Just kind of write it out.
I can see it now. Tony's gonna be like, "Hey, we should build this metal thing around." Poof, just shoots him right there. No, not gonna happen. No,
we're not making them.
Yeah, but I do think that we are gonna, you know, kind of see the consequences of that. In that she's in this, you know, new version of reality where she's suddenly come back. We see her get Loki got with the scepter and everything. And I think that Loki is going to want revenge on both Black Widow for doing that and on Uatu for causing that scenario to happen. I think that because it's What If, we could see some sort of a thing where we end up seeing Loki kill Thor at some point, and then that might possibly lead the way for Jane Foster Thor to pick up the hammer and kind of defend that shit. So I know that that's a lot of stuff that I'm imagining, and I'm sorry, but I think it could be cool. I think that it could be super cool little Loki story in there.
Well, and I think she's got a really great point there because of the fact that we got that introduction of that universe storyline from the Loki series, but we never saw it come to fruition of anything else because tiny Loki ended up getting thrown into the outside of the time stream. And so that would be a really great opportunity to see if the What If was, you know, what if he didn't get picked up by, you know, the TVA. Yes, brain fart. That would be cool to see, you know, if the storyline went where he didn't get picked up by the TVA and he was allowed to grow up and become almost pretty much probably the next ruler of Asgard and taking over things. I think that would be a really great thing to see in the What If series.
That I wanted to add on to Whitney's part really quick of how ridiculous it is that a new Natasha Romanoff shows up and Fury's immediately like, this is okay with me. You came out of the middle of fucking nowhere.
Exactly what I said. I was like, yeah, you even asked a lot more questions.
You're not my Natasha, but you'll do.
You'll do. When we have literal shape-shifting aliens everywhere and other villains.
How bad is his Avengers replacement team? If he's just like, you know what?
We need less of that. I will take this.
I'll take what we can get. You are a curly-haired Natasha, and I'll deal with it. You're a little dirty, whatever.
Nothing a shower can't fix.
Yeah, nothing a shower can't fix. You're good to go. Team up, Avengers. I think one part that really stuck to me this episode, which easily could be not a good theory, but this is rogue theory, is the fact of when it's rogue theory, is when we had zombie Wanda notice that Ultron was in Vision's body and how she stopped her magic powers, and how zombie Wanda when you saw that episode, nothing stopped her. She was she was like, I'm gonna murder anything in my way. I don't give a fuck. So I think it's kind of crazy that he was able to kill her that quickly with all those other zombies around. So I do think if we did bring something from the first season into the second season, that would be a fun one to bring back, because it's not that easy to kill a zombie, especially making a Wanda zombie that's so powerful that it can be indestructible. Yeah. So that is even better than, or it's not even better than Ultravision. I just think it's more fun to have like such a reckless, powerful, not living thing because it's a zombie. But it's, and it also like brings note that we didn't kill her when Hulk was going against her. Like, she stayed alive and now she's in a different universe. So I don't know what we're going to have her do in this now flat, like whatever universe it's completely crushed. But I think that would be a fun thing to bring over. It's hard to know what they're going to bring from season one, because they did say, which I know we're like, don't listen to what they say for the MCU all the time, because we had so many people be like, I'm not in this season, and then they show up. But they did say that the second season is going to be completely different, and it has different stories. I do think they're going to maybe pull one main one, but it's like, maybe we're going to see more in What If that are different superheroes, not these ones that we're seeing right now, especially now that like T'Challa, RIP, they're not going to be bringing them into the second season. So like, how are we going to be able to push that narrative of Black Panther, or well, not Black Panther, of T'Challa. But I think that would be a cool one to bring on to the second season, is zombie Wanda. That's what I'm saying. If we had to tie it in.
Well, you guys all had amazing ideas. So I'm going to give you all each 5 million points. Woo! Each.
Zach, you have to keep track of the points.
Yes.
5 million.
Keep track of all those points.
5 million.
And the next one, this is Jess, you're going to get 2,325,042. Zach, keep track of the points.
I promise, my next theory will not be good.
It will not be good, I promise. Well, we do have some more theories about the universe that Killmonger left behind, but first, go check out our new Venom-inspired shirt available from our merch partners at Epic Hero Shop. And there's a limited supply, so you should grab one very quickly. And speaking of limited supply, they're running out of the recent Shang-Chi and the What If shirt. So if you haven't gotten one of those yet, time is running out. We're stressing you out. Go now. Just stop the video. Go now. Then come back, because we miss you. Find those shirts as well as all of our other great merch options all at newrockstarsmerch.com. And hey, it's okay if you lose some sleep staying up late for a What If episode, but you shouldn't lose any sleep because of a bad mattress. And Helix Sleep has a quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. And they have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size sleepers. And Eric Voss has a Helix mattress and he loves it. And the quiz matched him with a medium firm mattress with lumbar support that sleeps very cool. And the Helix mattress ships right to your door for free. And there's no need to go to a mattress store. So just go to helixsleep.com/rogue theory, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you with a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your dang life, guaranteed. And they have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. And they even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will, so, you know, You won't have to see them ever again. And Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/rogue theory. That's helixsleep.com/rogue theory for up to $200 off and two free pillows. And hey, it's the time of year where we all want to watch scary movies, and there's no better place to do that than on Shudder, the Netflix of horror. And you can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for just $5.99 a month or $56.99 a year. And Shudder has the largest, fastest growing, curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. And stream on Apple and Android, Xbox, or however you watch content. And it's ad free, and they have an excellent mix of classics, new stuff, and some unexpected surprises, all presented in an uncluttered interface, unlike some other streaming services.
I pay for Shudder. We pay for Shudder. I'm screaming in my face.
Yeah, Jess and the cat pay for Shudder.
Mostly the cat, because the cat loves scary movies.
VHS 94
and,
just
around the office, we...
Sorry.
And hey, around the office, we all have our favorites on the platform, including Train to Busan, please watch that, amazing movie, Mandy, The Wailing, and Poltergeist. And they also have great original films and series. And producer Zach's favorite is Cursed Films, which is great for folks interested in horror movie history. So get started streaming the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content. And Shudder's expertly curated collection includes must-see titles like Vicious Fun, The Mortuary Collection, and PG Psycho Gorman. Plus all the best horror documentaries and the hit Creepshow TV series from executive producer Greg Nicotero of The Walking Dead. So to try Shudder for free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code ROGUE. That is Shudder, Shudder.com. And promo code ROGUE. And finally, thanks to ExpressVPN both for sponsoring this episode and for helping us watch tons of more content than we normally would have access to. You can use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. It's sort of like a hack. It's really cool. So stream Star Trek Discovery on UK Netflix or Rick and Morty on French Netflix. And ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want sites to think that you are located. We're doing the sneaky sneaky on the internet. So open the app, select a location, tap one button to connect, and refresh the page to access thousands of new shows and movies, and choose from almost 100 different countries, and watch tons of anime, if you like anime like me, on Japanese Netflix, or Doctor Who, if you like Doctor Who like me, on UK Netflix. I do love both of those things. Whoever wrote this copy knows me very well. And this works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, they don't know shit if you use ExpressVPN. And ExpressVPN is the best VPN option because of its speed. You can stream in HD with no buffering or lag, and it's compatible with your devices, phones, laptops, smart TVs, whatever. And not only does it let you change your location, but it also encrypts your data and lets you surf the web safely and anonymously, because people are nosy and you can be very private on the internet with ExpressVPN. So go to expressvpn.com/rogue to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That is expressvpn.com/rogue. All right, gang, you guys ready for more show? So this episode showed us yet again Killmonger is gonna Killmonger. Like, he didn't seem all that phased when he teams up with another version of his cousin he murdered. But in the end, he couldn't resist the power of the stones. But that leads us to our second topic for today. What happens to the universe Killmonger came from? Like, what happened to that universe? Because with no T'Challa and no Killmonger, who will become the Black Panther in that universe now torn apart by war? And does Pepper take over everything? Like, do we have a Pepper Queen of Wakanda?
Absolutely not. How dare you even say that? Nothing's wrong with Pepper, but no, she is not the Queen of Wakanda.
All the food just instantly becomes less seasoned. There you go. It's like we're using too much seasoning
She's got her own store of gloop goop in one section of Wakanda.
I was just going to say, Pepper Potts would just start goop Wakanda.
It would be a horror. She'd go to Shuri and be like, we need to put jade eggs in our butts.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Oh my God. I think it's gonna. I hate that you even mentioned that. I should jump through the screen. I'm gonna stick my cat on your kneecaps.
Never that.
I think they could still make it Shuri and What If, or if they wanted to go the route, which I don't know because they've already done work on season two, so it's like It probably is Shuri. But if they did want to take it out and do something else, they could just not have a Black Panther right now, and they're like, we need to find one, or they're like, maybe we don't need one right now. We are Black Panther, so to speak.
Yeah.
The Wakanda.
Or
is.
Maybe they make like an army of Black Panthers instead of just one singular. Their elite, you know, super SEAL team, things like that.
I'm home of the Seattle Seahawks, where our thing is like number 12 because the 12th person on the field is the fans. So I'm always about, it's very corny, but I'm always about like that you like we're Black Panther. Like, no, there's not a singular one. So I think it would be that, but I think it will be how like they did. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm spacing on his name in Black Panther, who they were going after. I think it will be kind of like how they're going to keep looking for Killmonger, but Killmonger, they don't know that Killmonger is not in that universe. How would they know? So I think they're just going to constantly be like, we are still looking for Killmonger. He's still out there. Like, what happens when this, like, they're going to be focused up more so trying to find him than actually like being like, he's gone. he's gone.
That's a good point. Cause it's not like they saw him disappear.
They didn't.
And it's not like he's coming back anytime soon. So for them with Killmonger being like Killmonger being so elusive and everything, I'm pretty sure the next part where, when they come back to that universe, they're still going to be on that hunt.
100.
I don't know if they're going to ever reconsider filling that space for the role of like Black Panther. I feel like that's going to kind of take up most of the time, which I think is going to give us the opportunity to see Pepper and Shuri kind of come together and kind of bring together their areas of expertise to bring something to Wakanda that we hadn't seen prior. But I don't think we're going to see any replacement right now. I think that Marvel's going to save that for MCU proper. I think cinematically they're gonna create that step in the films. I think in terms of series, we're gonna stay in that gray area of, well, Killmonger's not here presently, but he's here somewhere. We gotta look for him, kind of thing.
It is also up to like the next Black Panther to kind of give us that evidence, not What If. I think it's maybe that's like a stretch for me, but it's like, I feel like if someone's going to announce who the new Black Panther is going to be, it should be the movie, not What If.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That definitely makes more sense.
Give it to Ryan.
And Coogler. I mean, the thing is, Shuri was a fucking great candidate to be the next Black Panther, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And 100. I think it would be really cool to see that character as Black Panther. And kind of the thing that I was sort of thinking about, because obviously I already told you guys my crazy thing with like Loki, and then that got me thinking about Jane Foster Thor and her taking up the hammer and doing all of that. So I was kind of starting to think about like what Pepper and Shuri could get themselves kind of into, and I wonder if maybe they might form like a sort of like a Force spinoff where they sort of do like a little girl gang with like Jane Foster Thor and Pepper in the rescue armor and Shuri as Black Panther. Okay. And then, you know, they get Widow in there. Captain Marvel, maybe. She can come too. Who's to say? I think that that would be kind of a cool thing to see, to kind of see like the ladies of Marvel.
That'd be sort
of. Oh my God.
No. Get in on
that. Whenever
their
anyone
shit.
Says A-Force, I get excited. I'm a big fan of A-Force. I Me love too. A-Force so much. Wow. And I really hope that What If Season 2 tackles A-Force in some type of way.
It would be so cool.
Hopefully. To make them like, maybe they'll be the next iteration of the Guardians of the Multiverse. Who knows?
Do you think because of the situation that happened in Wakanda with the military and everything in that particular episode, do you think we're going to see General Ross try again to attack Wakanda? And in that possibility.
Yeah. Like, Thunder, he's not going to, he's constantly going to just be stupid. Thunderbolt.
Oh. You know,
like, no, like the reveal of Wakanda to the world in that Killmonger episode of What If was a huge deal because, you know, no one knew the opulence of Wakanda. Like, no one knew Wakanda had it like that. So, like, in the comics, historically, everyone goes after Wakanda, like nations go after Wakanda because of their vibranium. So if everyone knows that they got it, it's not just the United States that are going to go after Wakanda. Right. It's going to be everybody. Like, it's going to be massive war. It's going to be chaos.
I think it should be one of the, which I always pronounce wrong, and I'm so sorry. One Okoye. Of the Dorum. Yep.
Dorum
yeah. Yeah. I think it would be, what, who, like, okay, so in the comics when Shuri took on the Black Panther, she wasn't actually, or at least this is the one I read, she wasn't really actually chosen, especially when she took the whatever and went under, they were like, you're not really chosen because you're too head. Not like, this is a really bad way of me explaining it. You're like headstrong. It was a more of a like, you're not thinking clearly. You're thinking too like with your brain, I guess. But like, it was just like, you might bring destruction with what you're sowing. And they were like, she was like, well, who else is going to be Black Panther then? Like, I don't understand. But, and so with one of the Dora Milaje, if one of them took it on, because it's like their virtue is always to protect. And they're also already warriors as in it, that would be a superhero unstoppable. Like, yeah. T'Challa was also a warrior and prepared to fight, but they are like trained from the jump. And that's why I'm like, I trust them with my life. And they wouldn't make a mistake. So
and
I think they would be a
great
Black Panther.
Especially if they are forming that kind of Black Panther collective, that could be an easy way to get in on that because they're already all trained, man. Just gotta
they're ready to go.
Pick up the tech. I think this will get it on.
I think this would be a great opportunity for us to see in the fullest of the comic books an opportunity where we get a chance to see the White Wolf. You know, with Bucky coming back. Oh, you know, maybe even with the loss of T'Challa and him being his friend and things going on like that, or even in a sense where. Bucky is still found by Wakanda, is kind of reconditioned and trained and is given the mantle in the midst. Like, what if Bucky's actually in Wakanda right now, getting reconditioned somehow, some way, and we get a chance in the midst of everything that his father calls up, you know, the White Wolf to take on the mantle and he becomes the protector of Wakanda.
Oh,
that would be interesting. Like, so the protector,
Bucky, get your ass out
like
of here.
The king. It's like, we don't have a Black Panther. We just have a protector.
Yeah.
Through the White Wolf. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That'd be
just because we got that little drop of it from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is like, well, it's technically the White Wolf or whatever. And that little like Easter egg there, and everyone was like, oh my God, he's the White Wolf. It's not that. You know, but that'd be really cool to see that come to fruition in any case, in any of these episodes coming up where he puts on like the full outfit of, you know, White Wolf. It's a little kind of gaudy or whatever with the shoulders and everything, but still, like, if there's a some sense of it like being similar to T'Challa or Black Panther's, you know, vibranium outfit, that'd be really cool to see Bucky in that outfit in the What If series.
Oh, in the What If series. I was like, in the MCU, he'd have to leave Sam's sister, and I never want him to leave Sam's sister. I want to see them married.
Sarah and Bucky.
I really do want to see them married because I really want like them to be brothers. Bucky
Yes.
The whole brother-in-law situation.
Buddy cops and buddy brothers.
Because then he'd be Uncle Buck, and then we could just call him Uncle
Buck. Oh, my God.
Uncle Buck and Uncle Sam.
Yes.
This episode has too many revelations. Too many good things for this episode.
Well, here's what's going to happen, guys. Again, since you guys all had amazing theories, 3 million points each which means that the rogue question is gonna be where it all goes down, baby. It's gonna be, because it's all tied up. It's all tied up. And I didn't just do that because it's easier to count. Just kidding, no.
Okay, sure. Mm.
Now, to our rogue question, because this week, Russia sent some actors into space for 12 days to make the first feature film shot entirely in space. And since we know Hollywood won't be far behind and they love a remake, pitch me your wildest idea for a movie reboot that now takes place in space.
Oh, there's too many. Too many. Every movie I'd want to be. I'd love to see Titanic in space. I'd like to see a lot of things done in space.
I think it'd be really interesting in terms of in space to see, because if you're in space, maybe they can do different locales in space, things like that. I'd be interested in seeing like a reboot of The Lord of the Rings.
That would be magical.
An opportunity where you can actually be like on a planet where there's actually Mordor and everything in there and all that kind of stuff. Like you'd have the hobbits like slowly hopping through space and things like that. But it'd be interesting to see how they take that approach. Because to be honest, Lord of the Rings is a movie you don't need rebooted. But then in that same mindset, you don't need it rebooted on Earth. What about space?
If you're gonna reboot it with a purpose.
Yeah, reboot it with a purpose. Cool. With a lot of Lord money, with a lot of money.
In space kind of thing.
In space.
Okay, I got one. I wanna see Jurassic Park. Now, why I want to see Jurassic Park and because we think it's Jurassic Park in space, yeah, but think about the actual plot of the story, right? A meteor hit Earth, blew it up, and people are like, they don't exist anymore. No, they do. Mm. They just learn to exist in space. So you are trying to outrun T-Rexes. Yeah, they've adapted. And what is more scary than a T-Rex that was built from like two dangerous dinosaurs, like in Jurassic Park, than a dinosaur in space that has adapted to living without oxygen? So it's like,
they don't need to breathe.
And these people will be like astronauts, but they're going to be facing every type of T-Rex. Freaking the Velociraptor flying through space, every sort of like any dinosaur freaking prehistoric being is
out
there.
They've developed some kind of propulsion system within their body and they're able to like jet their
they're
way.
They're going through space fast and you're just like, like you're just trying. And I just imagine like we're just doing, it's like, we're landing on a planet and we're just like looking around and then a giant shadow of a T-Rex comes behind us and we're like, good Lord, trying to jump away. The T-Rex is just like, and like comes in. And it's just like, it's all a thriller. It's ridiculous. And give me dinosaurs in space. Two things that every child would love.
What I am imagining for my space movie takeover is that we're going to do a mashup between Muppets in Space and Fast 9 from the Fast 9.
Oh my God.
It's
double
gonna
space.
Be all the characters from Fast 9, but now they're Muppets. So it's just going to be Ludacris and a Muppet in space.
Oh my God.
That's kind of what I want. Like, I want it to be shot on location, real Muppets, the real Vin Diesel,
Gonzo is Vin Diesel.
Yeah, and I want them to teach us the value of family, but to do it from space.
Wow. You know?
Jess is like, I'm sending Jim Henson an email right now.
I would love to see Muppets, like a Muppets Fast, any Fast
Muppets
movie.
Muppets Fast
have to be
would
space.
Be so good.
It would
so
be so
good.
Funny.
And
it
then now so imagine weird. Them on the moon. Same deal, but in space. Perfect. No notes. I'm
literally
there.
Oh my gosh.
So perfect. Wow. You guys literally all chose ideas that I would have never even thought of, because like Lord of the Rings in space, Muppets, like Muppets Fast in space, like all that shit. That's fucking crazy. But I think I'm going to have to reward the winning points to Jessica's cat.
Baby, we can buy land now. Honey, wake up. Wake the kids. We can buy land, honey.
Well, that is it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Again, thank you to our guests, Jessica Clemens, Whitney Van Lanningham, and Eddie Villanueva for joining me this episode. Please support them wherever they are. They're all on Twitter. Support new rock stars and our channel by checking out all of our merch, including the brand new Venom-inspired shirt and all of our great merch They can all be found at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow me at Mastertainment if you want to see me tweet some weird shit. And follow me at New Rockstars wherever we are on the internet, YouTube, Twitter. We'll see you guys all next time. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.